Titled The Bankruptcy of the United States. There's an introduction followed by the text of the speech. But the introduction explains exactly what happened and how this was placed into the congressional record. So I'm going to start with the introduction. This speech, and again, the introduction was written by Jim Traficant. He was a former representative from the state of Ohio. Okay, if you haven't heard of him, you can look it up. He did a lot of interviews. He did a lot of talks. There's a lot of YouTubes. He was on mainstream media. He was quite a guy, and he was quite willing to take on the powers that be. Okay, here's the introduction. This speech has been written in several books. Many people still write to me asking for information and details about the speech. Some are confused because the speech was actually inserted into the record with only the first part delivered on the House floor. Floor debate is usually limited. I had only 1.5 minutes. Thus, I made the first remarks, then asked unanimous consent to have my total prepared speech inserted into the record, and it was. I never read or gave a quote prepared, unquote, speech on the floor, but did on occasion use the segment of record known as, quote, extension of remarks, unquote, when I needed more time to make my point. The following is the complete text of my speech. So, that's the origin of this speech that I'm going to read now. Mr. Speaker, we are here now in Chapter 11. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in world history, the U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it is a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9, 1933, 48 Stat 1, Public Law 89-719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent. HJR, which is House Joint Resolution, 192, 73rd Congress, Session June 5, 1933, Joint Resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause dissolved the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of all United States governmental offices.
Sal Whitney, welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this 20th day of January, 2018. I'm sorry I'm late. We had technical problems. My computer just all of a sudden died, and it wouldn't do anything, and I rebooted. And it still wasn't okay. So I'm going to do this from the telephone. Thank goodness we have alternatives. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed on my website. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of the homepage. Our guide has been viewed more than 62,000 times since it was posted several years ago. It's now in its 9th edition. We keep adding to it as more ideas and information come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government, as does our notice of condition precedent on our webpage. Well, last night I was asked to sit in for John Stattmiller's, and I was happy to do so. And I talked about the driver's license and the Real ID Act. I had been researching that pretty much most of the week, And I wanted to take that opportunity to share it with people. So I don't want to do it all over again. What I did is I took the program, I downloaded it as an MP3, and I posted it on my website without commercials. It's really just an explanation of the Real ID Act, when it came to be, what justification did they use, and it's on anticorruptionsociety.com. The name of the article is Getting a Real ID Requires Us All to Lie. And you scroll down, and then there is a player on the screen, and you can click on that, and you can hear a discussion that I had last night on John's program. I also have links to the executive order 13814 that President Trump signed in October, extending, again, renewing the national state of emergency. And I have a link to the Senate report 93549, which explains what a permanent state of emergency is, which we have been in since 1933. And I also put up a link from the Federal Register, which is quite lengthy, but for those who want to check it out, explaining the Real ID Act. Okay, so anyone who wants more information on that should be able to get it from my website. Get started anyway. But tonight I'd like to talk about this amazing article that I found that sort of stupefied me, especially in light of what I went through last year when my close family member got critically ill, basically had a cardiac arrest last January, and survived and is doing well. But I learned a lot. We went through a lot. We underwent a lot of stress and strain. And we became completely disillusioned with the medical industrial complex, which I had been many times in the past. This article, however, caught my attention. It was posted in the, there was a newsletter for the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and it's called Spectrum. Someone kind of told me to check out that website. I did, and it is quite interesting. If you want to know, this is the world's largest organization for the advancement of technology. If you want to know what they're doing and what they're planning technology-wise, it's a good website to visit. But this article is called Stanford's AI Predicts Death for a Better End-of-Life Care. And that really caught my attention. So I'm going to share that with you. Excuse me. And then you guys call in and tell me what you think, but I was really quite aghast at this concept. This was written by Jeremy HSU. I don't know how to pronounce that. And it was posted on their website January 16th, 2018. Okay. Using artificial intelligence to predict when patients may die sounds like an episode from the dystopian science fiction TV series Black Mirror. But Stanford University researchers see this use of AI as a benign opportunity to help prompt physicians and patients to have necessary end-of-life conversations earlier. Many physicians often provide overly rosy estimates about when their patients will die and delay having the difficult conversation about end-of-life options. That understandable human tendency can lead to patients receiving unwanted, expensive, and aggressive treatments in a hospital at their time of death instead of being allowed to die more peacefully in relative comfort. The alternative being tested by a Stanford University team would use AI, artificial intelligence, to help physicians screen for newly admitted patients who could benefit from talking about palliative care choice. Past studies have shown that about 80% of Americans would prefer to spend their last days at home if possible. In reality, up to 60% of Americans end up dying in an acute care hospital while receiving aggressive medical treatment, according to research cited by the Stanford Group's paper, Improving Palliative Care with Deep Learning, published on their ARXIV preprint server. Palliative care experts usually wait for the medical team in charge of a given patient to request their services, which typically include providing relief for patients suffering from serious illness and possibly recording end-of-life treatment preferences in a living will. But Stephanie Harmon, an internal medicine physician and founding medical director of palliative care services for Stanford Healthcare, saw an opportunity to flip that routine around by giving palliative care physicians the ability to identify and proactively reach out to patients. Harmon took her idea to Nigam Shah, associate professor of medicine and biomedical informatics at Stanford University. Shah had been talking about possible collaborations involving AI in healthcare with Andrew Ng, an adjunct professor at Stanford University and former head of the Baidu AI group. They agreed that the palliative care idea seemed like a good project to explore together. The Stanford team's AI algorithms rely upon deep learning, the popular machine learning technique that uses neural networks to filter and learn from huge amounts of data. The researchers trained a deep learning algorithm on the electronic health records of about 2 million adult and children patients admitted to either the Stanford Hospital or Lucile Packard Children's Hospital to predict the mortality of a given patient within the next 3 to 12 months. Parentheses, predicting the death of a patient within 3 months would provide too little time for the preparations needed in palliative care. Quote, we could build a predictive model using routinely collected operational data in the healthcare setting as opposed to carefully designed experimental study, says Anand Avati, a PhD candidate in computer science at the AI lab of Stanford University. The scale of data available allowed us to build an all-cause mortality prediction model instead of being disease or demographic specific, unquote. The pilot study's use of an algorithm to predict patient mortality, which was approved by an institutional review board, turns out to be less scary than one might think. From an ethics and medical care standpoint, the deep learning model's assistance in helping human physicians screen patients for palliative care generally comes with major benefits and few downsides. Quote, we think that keeping a doctor in the loop and thinking of this as machine learning plus the doctor is the way to go as opposed to blindly doing medical interventions based on algorithms. That puts us on firmer ground both ethically and safety-wise, unquote, says Kenneth Jung, a research scientist at Stanford University. One potential complication with deep learning algorithm is that even their creators often cannot explain why a deep learning model came up with a particular result. The black box nature of deep learning means it might normally be difficult to tell how the Stanford group model comes to the conclusion that any given patient would likely die within a year. Fortunately, the reasoning behind the deep learning model's mortality predictions does not particularly matter in this case. The palliative care team is primarily concerned with acutely identifying patients who could benefit from their attention as opposed to needing to know exactly why the algorithms predict the patient might die. Stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. This is Al Whitney, and we're talking tonight about an article in a research project that Stanford University is doing and attempting to use AI to predict death. We got this article from Spectrum, which is a sort of a news source for the organization called the Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers. Okay, still it may be useful to know why the deep learning model made its predictions for research purposes. In this case, the Stanford group used a common error analysis technique called ablation analysis to provide some insight behind the deep learning model's decision making. Their method involved tuning the model little by little through tweaking individual parameters to figure out what impact these parameters had on the model's decisions. The Stanford group also emphasized that patients do not need to be standing near death's door in order to benefit from palliative care. The early stages of the pilot study show that it was often beneficial for physicians to have the end-of-life discussions with seriously ill patients, even if they were not likely to die within the next year, Jung says. In the end, the deep learning model focuses on predicting death is far from sinister. Mortality simply happens to be a useful measure that is fairly straightforward. Is the person dead or not? Compared with the researcher's main interest in figuring out the best timing for patients to get a visit from the palliative care team, the Stanford group aims to gauge the pilot study's success based on outcomes, such as how the physicians on both the palliative care team and the first-line team caring for the patients behave differently. They also want to see if the AI pre-screening can improve the rate of patients getting their wishes for end-of-life care documented and reduce the number of people who end up dying in the intensive care against their interests. Quote, we want to make sure the sickest patients and their families get a chance to talk about what they want to happen before they become critically ill and they end up in the ICU, Jung says. Okay, I don't know, listeners may not remember, but last year when my family member was sick, we got a call from the palliative care people out of the blue. And at the time, the family was not convinced that he was dying, so we were somewhat shocked because we knew what that group was. And we said, no, we're not interested, not even remotely interested. We were still in shock and had little understanding of what had actually happened and what caused the cardiac arrest. And the nurse said to me when she heard me turn them down, she said, well, we find the palliative care very helpful. Us. And I thought, well, how strange. I mean, why would I do that to make things helpful to the nurse in ICU when the family's plan was for the patient to recover, which he did. So I have a real hard time with palliative care. On June 24th, 2017, if you go through the archives of RBN, June 24th, 2017, I did a show called Beware of Palliative Care. And I got the information that they had given me that I had researched on my own. I had heard about this palliative care maybe 2 years ago when my husband came home after having been to a continuing medical education program that they presented the whole concept to him. And at the time I said, this smells like a rat. You know, and immediately, again, we're in a system, and I bet the RBN listeners already know that they put lipstick on pigs all the time. I mean, everything they do, they present as beneficial to us. The Patriot Act, the Real ID Act, everything, Obamacare, Affordable Care Act, everything they do is presented as beneficial to us, and almost nothing is. And that pattern is going on all across the country over and over again every day. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned, may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect.
Can you hear me? Ken? Okay, good.
To keep it. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Events of Humanity. This is Al Whitney. We're still having some technical difficulties that we're trying to iron out. Anyway, so tonight we've been talking about Stanford setting up computers and putting data in regarding real-life patients trying to predict their death for better end-of-life care. I have such a huge problem with it. I can't even begin to start how that could go amok and how that will go amok. Because no sooner than they do that, then they're going to put in with a certain parameters and certain diagnoses that cost X amount of money, and we're not going to spend that kind of money when someone only has 3 months to live, or we're not going to spend that kind of money if someone only has 6 months to live. And I could just see how that whole thing could go south in about 2 minutes flat, predicting on a computer when people might die. Now, I mentioned that they came up to us while my family member was in the hospital, and many times we were told how very sick he was, and, you know, the doctors gave a very severe look, and then again we were contacted by the palliative care people, and the doctor told me he was very, very, very sick, and I remember thinking, you know, they're going to convince the family to give up on the patient if we don't get strong about this. And we had a little meeting, and we did get strong about this, and we tuned them out. But can you imagine, here you have someone who's trying to recover, and the computer says, well, you're going to die within a year, so the computer told me, I'm with palliative care, to contact you, and we could talk about your end-of-life care. Well, if anyone listened to the show we did on Bruce Lipton, if you convince a patient in their mind that they are dying, their body pretty much starts giving up. And what you're doing is you're setting them up to die, not to recover. So now you've got a computer, and doctors probably are impressed with computers, telling the doctor, well, it's time to tell your patient he's going to die. I mean, this thing just scares me to death, okay? I don't trust the people involved. There's a lot of money that people are making in palliative care. When I looked at that program, I said, holy moly, this whole group of people, social workers and nurses and nurses' aides and counselors, they all want to get in on the action on this senior citizen or this sick person who might die. And it felt to me like a feeding frenzy. Geez, you know, there's a lot of money that can be made before this guy dies. So let's come up with palliative care, and then we'll all make a lot of money in the process. And we'll tell everybody how great this is, because we're helping him get his end-of-life wishes. Now, hello, people. End-of-life wishes, doesn't that sound like something that only close family members would be sharing? Only close family members should be privy to? These strangers walk in and they want to help you meet your end-of-life goals? I cannot begin to tell you how much trouble I'm having with these concepts. And then you got a bunch of computer geeks who have probably no compassion, who've never seen real people get sick. They've never seen real people suffer, and they're just punching in numbers, you know, to make their program look good. Now, let's add another layer to this, which actually happened in my life, and I've known it's happened in others as well. Out comes the drugs, right? We talked about that. I did a show on that. Deadly Medicines is a book that was written by the co-founder of the Cochrane Collaboration, exposing how these medications are killing people, even when, and particularly when, they're taking them as prescribed. I did a show on that, explaining the lethal side effects and adverse reactions of medications that were ordered for our family member, and the reason we are absolutely convinced he did so well is, after looking at the information, the decision was made not to take the medications. So if they're going to do this computer analysis of all these critically ill, maybe dying patients, are they going to include the ones that take medications and the ones that don't take their medications? Do you think they're going to do that? I doubt it. I doubt it, because they don't want the world to know that the ones that didn't take the medications lived longer than the ones that did. So my feeling is the medications aren't going to be included in this, although this article doesn't say what data they're going to put in it. And again, we're going to have this battle, I believe, and I'm hoping the listeners have been paying attention, over whether or not we take their medications. Most of their medications have serious adverse reactions and side effects. So, we'd like to take calls, if there are any callers out there.
Past 18, he was waiting for the bus in his army green. Sat down in a booth in a cafe there. Gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile. And he said, would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low.
Vietnam vet with a cardboard sign, sitting there by the left turn line. Flag on a wheelchair flapping in the breeze, one leg missing and both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him, the VA budget's just stretched so thin. And there's more coming back from the Mideast war, we can't make it here anymore. And that big old building was a textile mill. It fed our kids and it paid our bills. But they turned us out and they closed the doors. We can't make it here anymore. See those pallets piled up on the loading dock? They're just gonna sit there till they rot. Cause there's nothing to ship, nothing to pack. Just busted concrete and rusted tracks. Empty storefronts around the squares, a needle in the gutter and glass everywhere. You don't come down here unless you're looking to score. We can't make it here anymore. And the bar is still open, but man, it's slow. The tip jar's light and the register's low. The bartender don't have much to say. The regular crowd's getting thinner each day. Some are maxed out. How far 5:15 an hour will go? Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore. And there's a high school girl with a bourgeois dream, just like the pictures in the magazine she found on the floor of the laundromat. A woman with kids can forget all that. If she comes up pregnant, what'll she do? Forget the career, forget about school. Can she live on faith, live on hope, high on Jesus or hooked on dope? When it's way too late to just say no, you can't make it here anymore. I'm stocking shirts in the Walmart store.
You're on.
Okay. Sorry, people. This is a bad night. There must be a full moon. Technical problems on this computer, and it had been working fine all day. So anyway, I was talking about the problems with having AI predict death to make the system run better. Now, they always say, it'll make patients more satisfied with their end-of-life experience. Again, they always put lipstick on a pig. The other thing that concerns me, I saw a program that is being conducted in my community for senior citizens, and it also has a incredibly parasitic nature. It's done by the Commission on Aging in my town. It has their own little office. We have a senior citizen center. They have services for seniors. All of these people are making their living off of senior citizens and sick people and their illnesses. And they're like parasites. We saw a program that they did, and they were talking about how they could put a lockbox, like a key box. They're offering this service on the front of your house. So in an emergency, the police can get in, and you have to tell them, you know, how to use the key, etc. Then they want to set up a system where they can have a time every day that you receive a call to make sure you're okay. And if they call three times and you don't answer, then they send someone out from the emergency service to check on you. There's another job. I mean, then they have paramedics that are volunteering to go into the home and help people with their medications, set up their little medication boxes for the week. Then they have other counselors that are offering Medicare counseling to help people figure out how to manage their Medicare Advantage programs or insurance programs, et cetera, et cetera. The list was huge. All of these people are making a living off of taking care of the elderly, and I'm just having a real problem with that. Instead of doing everything we can to help our own family members and keep us resilient, independent, healthy, and strong, there are teams in the medical profession, teams in social workers everywhere that have found a way to make money off of senior citizens. It's sort of mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing. Then when you bring into the other factor, I did a show, it must have been a couple years ago, on guardianship. And then you start to really get concerned, because any one of these people can go into the home and determine that, well, he's not taking his medication or he's not eating well. We better call social services. Maybe his family isn't doing a very good job. Or how about this one? Both he and his wife think the medication is causing him harm, but the doctor thinks it would help him. So maybe we need a guardian for him. Do you see how this could go afoul? How fast? This thing, it could go afoul. Now all of a sudden we have someone coming in, analyzing the situation, deciding whether or not the family is taking good care of the senior citizen, whether or not there should be a guardian appointed, and then you get into the whole guardian thing, and that's another can of worms. We did a show on that, and the slogan, the research that was done, the slogan was, isolate, sedate, and steal the estate. So you're bringing all these people into your home that you don't know. And right there, I see that as a bad, bad, bad idea. A bunch of strangers you don't know coming into your home and looking at whatever. How are you living your life? Do they think you should be on medications? Do they think that you should be exercising that much or not? Are you not exercising enough? To me, this sounds like an absolute nightmare. And I can see how this thing is going to go amok in 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, perhaps you've got a couple, an elderly couple that was doing really well, and then the interventionists come in, and things start going south. So I wanted to share that with the listeners. And again, the number is, I can't see the screen right now, so Ken will have to tell me if there's any calls. The number is 1-800-313-9443. And I do apologize for all this technical mess that's been going on tonight. It's been awful. But it's already 8:50. Ken, I can't see the board. Are there any calls? Okay. Good evening, Roxanne.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Great. I wanted to tell you a little bit about...
Okay, hang in there, Roxanne. We're going to break.
Yes, please.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefits. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. We are talking to Roxanne from Texas. Well, Roxanne, what did you think of all that?
Hi. I just want to tell you my experience from 1993 to 99. I was working in Saudi. It was a multi-specialist hospital. I did X-ray, CT, and MRI over all those years, you know. And the protocols, for example, for our cancer patients came out of MD Anderson here in Houston, and we other specialties out of Canada, in Europe, the UK, whatnot. Anyway, but I worked, like, we rotated. I did a month in palliative care because that was a whole another wing. It was like a small city, actually, but the palliative care, I did, like, nothing but portables all day because, of course, the patients can't come to me, so I had to go to the bedsides. But the socialized medicine or Obozo care, whatever you want to call it, the patients, the wait list was like 6 months. Their conditions were so far gone. All, you know, it was mostly palliative care after a while because, you know, they couldn't get the appointments. And the people that I knew came here to the U.S. or went to Europe that had any money because they knew how bad the system was.
Yeah.
And they didn't make it, most didn't make it home. But, for example, well, on this whole thing, my brother's wife died two Saturdays ago, and he did the palliative care at his home, or their home. And, she went through the chemo and radio, and, you know, against my wishes, but I'm not them, so.
Right.
And she refused the second round, but, you know, he made her all the food and everything. But, and that's the thing is, what could go wrong if you got some nefarious person, group, government that hacks into the computer that's from Sanford or whatever? Saying, well, this person got this, this, and this, so what could go wrong? They might just speed up and say, whoa, we need to get 3 weeks out of this person. And what's our bottom line? Cost and profitability.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, yeah,
that's all I got. Have a wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I mean, I could see why people are going to try to sell this as a good thing, but I wouldn't touch the 10-foot pole. But now, I have to admit that our circumstances, everybody's got their own unique circumstances. Our circumstances are such that we have family right here, and we're our own team, and we know how to look things up, and we know how to do our own investigation, and we're very protective of each other. So I don't know what I would say if you have someone living alone or someone without any family. It might be different. I could see so many ways this thing could go wrong. Okay, we have a caller from Ohio. Kathy, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
I used to work in a hospital when I was younger, and I quit when I raised my children. But, you know, you worked in one, you see things, and I I hear the music. Do you want me to wait?
Yeah. Okay, hang in there. Stay there. Stay with us, Kathy. We'll be
okay.
Right back.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-927-6648. 928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.